Welcome to Webcology. Webcology is the show that takes you into the deepest and darkest ends of the ecosystem on the internet. Our guides will take you on a journey into web marketing and bring you the experts and the information so that you can further explore the web marketing world. Now, here are the hosts of Webcology, Jim Hedger and Dave Davies.
Hey everyone, welcome to Webcology here on webmasterradio.fm. It's the 1st of March, 2018. Spring is almost here. Means a lot to us in the East, especially given that we just had fall spring. We're about to be hit by very real winter, like imminently, any minute now it's coming back. Jim Hedren from Digital Always Media and Dave Davies from Beanstalk Internet Marketing. And Dave, you're in the perpetual summer of the West Coast, are you not?
Yes, we're just readying ourselves for the flurry of cherry blossom that are going to be littering the ground and getting ready our shovels.
Is that like real flurries of cherry blossoms or just like real flurries?
No, we're actually like I'm staring out at a tree that's bright pink with cherry blossoms.
I mean, the rest of us in North America, we're kind of hoping all those cherry trees would die in the cold last week. If that didn't happen,
It is true. No, we paid for it last week. We paid it forward for some nice weather. Now we've got it. So now we're sitting in the, I don't know, probably mid-50s.
Yeah, that's where we were yesterday here on the East Coast. I actually went for a bike ride yesterday, which was like phenomenal. It was 16 Celsius, or whatever. They'd be like 62 degrees Fahrenheit in Toronto. Now it's -1 Celsius. So like, what, 30?
Eesh.
Yeah. Climate change, eh? Tons of fun. Okay, this is a weird show. In the last hour, I found out that the American President Donald Trump has basically declared trade war on Canada and other... And Mexico and other steel producing countries, and that's going to lead to other things, very likely degradation of NAFTA and a completely different trade relationship between Canada and America. And we got to do a show on that because of so much bilateral work in the tech industry. But yeah, just kind of freaks me out. Just found this out in the last hour. I haven't had zero time to do analysis on it, but I got this nasty feeling that something really wicked is coming our way really soon.
Yeah, well, I try not to, and I think you're in the same boat other than, specific issues like net neutrality. I try and not talk on this. My worry for my friends south of the border, obviously I have obvious concerns being from north of the 49th parallel. My concern south of the parallel is, of course, this is going to hit... the poorest, because it's going to increase the price of some core products. Mm-hmm. Just naturally. And if you're affluent, that doesn't really impact you if it's going to cost you an additional whatever $10 for your car. But if you're scraping by, every dollar counts. So that is the area where it's, I feel sorry for some people south of the border. Obviously I have some obvious concerns being from north of the border on the trade side of things, but it's going to be a peculiar thing to play out. It's also going to be an interesting thing to see, is this just a bargaining tool, right? Is this just an empty threat to push to here and then pull back halfway and pretend you're getting what you want in the end? I mean, it's a classic bargaining tool. So, it'll be interesting to see if that's actually the play here. And end up pulling back.
It will, and as these things go, there's going to be like harsh words and harsh feelings and all that. And it's important to remember that the people of each country didn't do this to each other. This is no American did this to me. The American president did this to me, but I understand many of them don't like him either. So, so there you go. Anyway, it's weird. I have to write a business blog after the show, so my head is just reeling with where that's going to be going. Big week in search. Lots of announcements out of Google, mostly on, interestingly, how Google works.
It's shocking.
it's well, what's shocking is that Google's actually coming out and saying, hey, you know, this is kind of who we are and how we work. And I'm not sure if they're doing it from maybe it's a very positive influence of Danny Sullivan, or they're just getting really tired of people making assumptions about how they do stuff.
Like if we can just wear them down by being wrong so often, they'll tell us they're wrong, not our, the one we make up, but they'll tell us they're wrong.
Yeah, but, well, that's reverse psychology, Google style, right? Okay, there was a really cool blog from the product manager director of search at Google, Emily Moxley, talking about how Google is, you know, trying to work its head around its digital head, its rank brain, if you will, around providing fuller, more comprehensive, more I guess deeper researched and nuanced results to questions you might ask in your search. She posed the example, somebody might write a search question, gardens need full sun. Again, this is Emily Moxley's example in the Google blog. But what does that mean? I mean, garden needs full sun. That could mean a whole bunch of stuff, right?
Right.
So Ms. Moxley has written this blog post on, you know, how Google is trying to figure it out. And she cites multifaceted feature snippets. Dave?
Yep.
I'm throwing to you.
All right. I immediately go on two tangents on those. As soon as I saw the story, my brain went two tangents. And interestingly, one of them, they've just launched free courses, but we'll talk a little bit on that probably later in the show, some free courses that Google's offering right now. My first thought instinctively is, great, they're shoving my organic results further down. and for listeners who, you know, can't actually see the result, and if you haven't seen it yet, it's basically taking those answer boxes and multiplying them, right? Adding a second, or, you know, in that example, there's a second, but, you know, there could be a third. You know, so that's not necessarily good for users. But I can just see Emily and I, you know, and those brains that sit over at Google going, all right, let's get our machines going on this, right? And really deploying some very, very strong machine learning. Do I think, and what I mean by that, do I think that they want to have multiple answer boxes forever? No, I don't.
We're teaching them.
Well, exactly. So I suspect they're going to have machine learning sitting in the background going, under what circumstances are people selecting different things? What time of year are they trying to find out which ones need more sun? And basically going, okay, under specific environmental conditions, this answer is right.
So what Google's doing is, instead of giving you one featured snippet where they're, you know, to try to answer, actually, you know, when they got a really ambiguous question, I don't think they would have even returned a feature snippet. But now, when they get an ambiguous question, they're going to give you a multi-answered featured snippet, for what they call multi-intent queries. Here's a query: tooth pain after a filling. Does that mean why does my tooth hurt, or how long will the tooth hurt?
Or will my tooth hurt, and I haven't gone in yet, right? Like,
yeah,
there's a bunch of different things you could be asking. It is the big challenge. Like, you know it, I know it. Machines have been at it. There's patents trying to sort this out. And it is the big challenge that Google has. And I think it's not just in search. I mean, this is a massive challenge that they're going to have in better understanding this entity that is Jim Hedger, who's wandering around with this phone, mm-hmm. Is understanding what is the context that I would pick up if you're you know, if you just, you know, we walked up to each other and you were like, beer, I would understand that what you meant is, hey, do you want to go for one? It's not, hey, I need a definition. Hey, I want to know what is it? You know, how much barley is it? Right? Like, I understand the context. I think that's what basically we're teaching it in the context of search here. But I have to think that this is training their systems. I am interested to see in an iteration, and this I would think would come in, I don't know, a week, 2 weeks, are we going to see a version of this that's using carousels, right? As they start to get a little more confidence in a right answer, do they start showing you their primary first and then switch to a carousel for other options. That I'm interested to see if that's on the horizon.
Well, here's another cool thing. You said something earlier that your first thought was, oh, damn, they're finding another way to bury the organics into the search result page somewhere, right?
Yeah.
Well, you know, about 6 months ago, maybe 12 months ago, we started telling people, well, aim for the featured snippet. Like, answer that question. Get that box. Now you might have, like, six ways to basically get in that box.
That's a good point.
So, you know, they might have pushed some organic listings down a little bit or over a bit or whatever, but there's more space on the front page if you're, again, thinking of Google as a question-answering machine.
Yeah, and you know what? You're making me think that, and a strategy for our listening friends here, and it's not actually in her example and probably on purpose, is in to answer that question, right? They've gone with like a paragraph, tomatoes, cucumbers, peppers, blah, blah, blah. Is that actually the format you would use? I'm thinking not, to exactly your point, Jim. I would go with a list format. Why? Because it's not going to hit the end of the list. They're going to have to click through if they want to see my list. And sure, that's a big part of featured snippet optimization, right? Is create an environment where you are the best answer. It is clear you are the best answer. It's just formatted in a way where the complete answer can't be in there.
Just a click away.
Just a click away. But you get that teaser. You know it's coming. You know you're about to get what you want. You just got to go there to get it and let that publisher put up an ad or two in the process.
It's like that Dilbert cartoon that I've seen you referencing a number of times. I own you, you click monkeys.
It's one of my faves.
Indeed. Okay, we got a couple of minutes before we got to take a break. May as well jump to the almost shocking news. It was certainly emotional news, eh? Rand Fishkin's very last day at Moz was yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah, that's... I guess we all kind of saw it coming, right? It's like, when Cutts, you know, officially announced he was not coming back. It's like, yeah, we kind of all saw this coming. But you know what? At the same time, it's like when GeoCities closed. It was like, oh, well, that's an end of the thing, right? Like, it's like my first site was over there, right? It's not. I'm not likening him to that, but just in that nostalgic, like. You know, I think it would be more impactful on my daily life if, say, Pete Myers left, because he's actually one of the people that's writing and coding the things that I use every day. Yeah. Rand, brilliant speaker, great marketer, don't get me wrong, and a great developer of this, but I don't blame him for going, I kind of built this as big as it's going to be, right? It's the entrepreneur, and I'm going, time for a new thing.
Well, you know, that might be the case. There's a lot of speculation whether he, you know, jumped or pushed. Mm. I think it was a little bit of both. You know, maybe he wanted to jump and needed the push or something like that. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But it's been 17 years, almost two decades. And, you know, I next time I do see him, or if we have him on the show, we do have to... you know, remind him that he's been around so long, it's just like GeoCities.
I mean, see, like, he'll remember GeoCities, so it'll make sense.
Actually, is he old enough to remember GeoCities? I mean, like, he isn't that old, is he? We are.
Yeah, it's true. He may not be.
Hard to rat, like, a conference in Raleigh, North Carolina, like, 2 years ago. And across the room, like way across the room, I got terrible eyes. I can't see like 6 feet in front of me. And so across the room, there's this like total, hipster with like this mustache that's like circling out of his face. And Bill's like, hey, that's Rand. And I'm like, are you sure that's Rand? I'm too hipster for even for Rand, I think. And it turns out it was. And had a fun, long conversation that night. That was around the beginning of when this whole thing was going down.
Right.
I remembered like just how young, how like he was really young at the beginning. Like it was 21 years old.
Sporting some yellow Pumas.
Yeah. 17 years later, he has an amazing adventure ahead of him. I know that much.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed. So, and And this time, I know Geraldine's a big part of it at the outset, which must be nice for them as a couple, right? To you know, before it was Rand's thing, and she kind of came in. Now they get to start something together, so that'll be nice. Yeah.
And that something is Spark Toro. Sounds like they're going to be hooking up experts with those who needs them. Spark Toro. Okay, it's about 20 after the hour on the 1st of March, 2018. You're listening to Webcology on webmasterradio.fm. This is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media and Dave Davies from Beatstock Internet Marketing. And this is an opportune time to take a break, so we're going to do that. Stick around. We're back after these messages.
Sit tight and don't move. Webcology will be back after this short break. Do you look at the task of ranking your site at the top of the search engines like you would climbing the top of Mount Everest? It doesn't have to be. TopSEOs.com knows how hard that climb can be, and they can make top ranking a reality. TopSEOs sends you to only the right search vendors and agencies that they know will work for you. Since 2002, TopSEOs.com has reviewed and researched the best search engine marketing agencies and solutions providers. Don't risk the cost of falling off the proverbial peak of search rankings. Let TopSEOs give you peace of mind. TopSEOs.com, the independent authority on search vendors.
Are you looking for the best in WordPress speed, security, and scalability? WP Engine is a digital experience platform for WordPress, powering digital experiences for large brands around the world. With easy-to-use site management tools and powerful do-it-your-way development features, WP Engine gives you the flexibility to build it your way. Improve your SEO and conversion rates with a faster site on WP Engine. Learn more on WPEngine.com.
What is us?
Us is a foundation.
Us is the future.
Us is a bond.
But right now, that bond is fraying.
And we need a place that could make it whole.
From diabetes prevention to safety around water.
The Y fills the gaps.
And bridges our divides.
But they can't do it without us.
Donate today.
Because where there's a Y, there's an us.
Fed by members of the Y.
The Y, for a better us.
Webmasterradio.fm. We're everywhere. Off. Now back to Webcology, only on WebmasterRadio.fm. Here are the hosts, Jim Hedger and Dave Davies.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Webcology on WebmasterRadio.fm. It's the 1st of March, 2018, and this is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media, Dave Davies from Beatstock Internet Marketing, and I had to check the date a couple of times. This is March 1st, 2018. I just checked a post that we have from Search Engine Roundtable. We want to talk about, and it's one of those posts. You know, this has to happen to you all the time, Dave. Where you have to actually check the date to make sure, like, you're actually reporting on something that's like from today and not from like 5 years ago.
Yep.
Okay, so we've established that this is from today, March 1st, 2018. I just checked again while I was saying this, just to be sure, okay?
Okay.
John Mueller wanted to make sure that people understood, just to make sure that people understand. Why? Why do we got to do this? John Mueller wanted people to understand that Google PageSpeed, the PageSpeed update and the Mobile First Index are different things. So a ranking factor and being in the index, completely different things. Capiche? Mm-hmm. Well, you knew that, right? Like, shoot.
I didn't even know there was a question, I'll be honest.
Like, what? I'm sorry. Like, we have this, like, we choose our own stories. Nobody fed this to us, but this happened to be one of those weeks where both Dave and I were doing gangbusters and didn't actually, you know, have a lot of time to research the stories first. And so we're just throwing stories at each other, and I think I threw this one in. And now I'm looking at it going, why did I choose this?
Well, you know what? I think it's in part because I've got to say, for at least the last 4 weeks, I think each week we have had a story that begins with, could it be any other way, right? Like, could it, was this just this blinding flash of the obvious? Yes, it was. I don't know. That's like saying is link building and content development, they're different things, right? Like, of course they are. Yep, there's some overlap in impact, but, you know, they're completely different things, and you wouldn't call them the same thing. So, and that's exactly what we're seeing here. For anybody who thought the page speed update, i.e. make your site fast, and the mobile first index, i.e. make sure you're mobile, and we'll be talking more about that in the show as well.
Absolutely.
You know, of course they're not the same thing. There is some overlap, and I think the confusion came in because people have been saying, yes, the mobile rankings and mobile first indexing and some of the signals will be being increase in their importance in a mobile world,
yes,
of course, is page speed. So they are part of the same conversation, right? Sometimes, but they're not the same thing.
Okay, again, just okay, you know, this is to anybody who is currently my client or going to be my client in the future. Everybody else can just go screw themselves, but for my clients and people who will be my clients in the future, an indexing factor and a ranking factor. So something that's like, you know, being in the index, that gets you in the index, will say that's a really good sitemap. Helps Google discover all the pages and, you know, it helps them get into the index. Or being like, you know, remarkably mobile friendly, that'll help them get into the mobile index when people are doing a search from a mobile device. You know, mm-hmm. That's the index. Then there are things that we do to get you higher in search results when people enter specific keywords or do a vocal query or whatever, because they're looking for something. That's a ranking factor. So ranking, the index is like this big box that's got ladders in it, and you can climb up whatever ladder corresponds to the keyword queries.
Mm-hmm.
And each rung you go up is because a rank, because, you know, you've achieved some cool thing with ranking. Oh God, you know, the analogy fell apart and it was so good as I was making it up. Damn. But, you know, for the aspiring writers out there, work on that one. You can have it for free. it's almost works. Almost like the internet is like full of trucks. It almost works.
All right, where do you want to go from here? There's so many directions.
Man, I've been working 12-hour days for the last week. I want to go to sleep. That's what I want.
Well, you're not allowed.
No. Seriously, tomorrow, the Toronto International Bike Show opens. And for people in the Toronto area, it's at the Better Living Center at Exhibition Place, and I'm doing the social media work for it, and it's the world's largest bicycle show. Like, we're talking hundreds of thousands of bikes, tens of thousands of people at any given time, BMX competitions. Like, this is an indoor venue. There's going to be like kids riding and doing backflips and stuff, like probably over my head and scaring the heck out of me. It's going to be awesome. This is my third year doing their social media, and it's just nonstop. And again, it has been for the last week. So I'm a little punchy. That's my excuse. Where do you want to go, Dave?
You know what? Okay, I guess we've actually got time that we can sort of buckle up for here.
Oh,
Google Assistant. One of the exciting things that happened for me this week, or that I was super interested in anyway. The Google Assistant updated with routines and location based reminders. Love it. So basically what this is meaning is that you can now program your personal assistant, and I love that they combine the locations in here too, but basically if you said I'm home, and with the location stuff you can basically go when I'm home, it can do routines of tasks. So not just at a set time do this thing, not okay Google turn on my lights, but actually program it to when I walk in the door turn on my light. You know, basically all those devices that we have.
Does it make you more
connected? Yeah, you know what? If you had a connected device that could accomplish that, it would do that. So yeah, it can turn on lights, set alarms, adjust your thermostat, all of those things. Something I'm going to find an interesting and see if, you know, as this plays out as well, is those triggers of, okay, I'm in my car and clearly I'm on my way home. Okay, turn up that thermostat. right? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, and get the coffee brewing. I mean, if I want some on my way home, but like, you know, just sequences of tasks that you can set up in advance just to make your life a little more George Jetson-y.
Are you wearing headphones or is this over a speaker?
Me?
Yeah.
Well, I'm wearing headphones right now.
Damn. Okay. I was going to screw with your Google Home device, but I'm not going to now.
Yeah, I haven't programmed any sequences into it yet. But I do think that this is the great evolution of these technologies. And the battleground is 100% on. And Google does, as far as I'm concerned anyway, Google does have the edge. And I'm following both Google and Alexa, and I have both.
Yeah, you're both here at home. That's right.
I do, yeah. They sit, you know, next to each other. I haven't tried to get them to talk to each other yet, but I've run my tests. I'm like, okay, which ones do better under which types of queries? Ironically, Alexa does better at math, you know, and complicated math problems, but which I did find unique, and I wasn't expecting them to give me better answers. But better, you know, this yeah, I guess. And now they can sell me a book that, you know, okay, clearly you're an idiot here. But what is really, really interesting is as we start to see more and more of this evolve, and you combine this with some of the studies, and I was just reading them earlier today, that Eric Enge and the Stone Temple folks have been doing on voice search growth and adoption. And who's adopting it, and basically what they're finding, and I think we've chatted about this recently, but I don't know about this specific fact, is people are becoming more comfortable with voice search in public places. Okay, so now you can start to program in these routines into public places. As more and more things are happening, as more and more devices get connected, I think this is a really, really interesting area, both for me personally, because, you know, it's convenient, but also in that adoption, like me as a marketer, yes, a lot of the stuff that it'll be programming into their routine will not necessarily, you know, be something I can directly use, but it's certainly going to paint a more and more sophisticated picture for Google about who I am and what I do. And that's the part that the marketer in me is like, okay, if you can start to not just paint a picture of, you know, okay, I want to target somebody while they're making coffee. I mean, maybe you want to do that, and wouldn't that be interesting if you can now start to target that way? You know, but actually paint a broader picture and go, you know what, here's like 500 people that are my target demographic. I'm just going to upload all their email addresses. Take a look at those. Find people with similar routines, not just demographic, age, gender, right? Like, not just that, but actually look at what people do in their day. Find people who are kind of the same, and they may not be the same gender. They may not be the same age, but they have routines that are similar. They have patterns that are important enough to program in that are similar. Target those people. And that's the part that, as a marketer, as soon as I read that, I was like, okay, not today, obviously, because they've just added it, but they're going to paint a really good picture. And if I can start targeting people based on patterns, and maybe not even ones that I programmed, but just going, okay, Google, find people like this in their daily activities. That's going to be very powerful marketing.
I have an image in my head. Thanks, Dave. I needed this. I have an image in my head of Marty Weintraub in a cat burglar suit breaking into Google to go after the psychographic programming. This is going to haunt me for the rest of my day.
Oh, I can't unsee that, Jim.
You put it in my head. It's not my fault. Yeah, that's amazing. Like, seriously. And beyond, like, Marty Weintraub in a cat suit trying to steal psychographic programming from Google, which is, you know, kind of cool. Imagine that the levels of information Google is going to have about every individual using this. Like, I'm happy to be able to, like, micro-target people based on a bunch of written factors or behavioral factors on the social media. Google is going to be giving marketers the ability to target people on stuff they do in real life.
Yeah. I mean, and that's really the power. And what I try to remember when I'm thinking about this stuff is not just, I mean, there's the obvious, right? Like, anybody who's been in, you know, the AdWords interface, for example, right? And the way you can sort of target specific types of individuals. You know, there is that component that obviously gets me excited. If you understand that I have this specific pattern in my routine, you know, isn't that nice? Certain conveniences. You know, when I'm walking into my house, that I tell, you know, okay, I'm home and I have the thermostat and it turns up to this. Well, isn't that going to be convenient next time I'm going to a hotel, right? You know the thermostat level that I go with. So won't that be convenient? But as a marketer, what I love is and I suspect it can't do it yet, but I'm suspecting where it's going to go is taking it past that obvious, what I can already kind of do. Go, okay, I know I want, you know, women in this age group who live in this region, right? Like, I mean, just sort of some of the basic, you know, I'm targeting like this, and start to understand that, okay, let's not, you know, somebody, you know, a 14-year-old boy may actually have the same focuses in a purchasing decision as a 63-year-old woman, even though they live 1,000 miles apart in completely different areas. You wouldn't know that by demographic targeting, but you may know that by what they do in their day, right? And that's the part that really excites me, is if we can learn a little bit more about what they do in the day. Now, what's going to be odd, and it's generally into areas that I hate, is there's no real way Google's going to be able to go, hey, I can tell you specifically what that is, right? They're just going to be painting these profiles of people and going, okay, you can tell me who you want, feed me your customer list, and I'll create, you know, a sort of grouping. I'll basically find people who have the same routines, who have the same patterns in their life, and we'll target them. You know, we won't be able to, I don't like the part where we're kind of just going to have to trust them, because they probably can't even paint a picture for us, you know, in our interface and go, here's exactly who they are. Right? How do you define that? Well, they all walk in and their heat goes on to this temperature and they do, you know, how do you define that? You don't. But I think it's going to be incredibly powerful. Can you tell I'm pretty excited about this sort of next evolution? I didn't really see it coming until I saw this one. And then I'm like, yeah, that's the thing. It's not just about, it knows I'm walking past a coffee shop and I like Starbucks, right? It, you know, it knows more than that now, and can make better decisions. I'm excited.
You remember Moore's Law, right? The basic principle that every 18 months or so, we're going to double the amount of processing power that we can like jam on any given silicon chip.
Yep.
That law has, you know, basically said that every 18 to 24 months, we've, you know, gotten twice as fast at doing stuff. And that, you know, sort of ideas are bound by our, you know, technological allowances, what we can actually get away with doing. I mean, you have a great idea, but if you can pull it off, you can do it. If you can't pull it off, you can't do it. We are advancing so rapidly, and the only thing that is acting as a carburetor slowing our advancement is the speed at which we can think, which we don't even, you know, being done digitally now or being done electronically now. So that we've come this far this fast is stunning. I mean, 5 years ago, 10 blue links, that was, you know, that was, you had a hard time seeing past that. Now they are perfecting how to deal with the multifaceted complexities of mobile search. And it's not even going to be predictive analysis anymore, because you're telling them everything about yourself.
Yeah.
It's on one side, it's completely exhilarating, because there can be so much greatness for human potential. On the other side, it's kind of like an episode of Black Mirror that never ends.
Yeah, I think everybody kind of has that feeling. It's like, okay, there is going to be a tipping point where it kind of goes south on us. And that's the fun about being, I think, you or I, or, you know, any litany of our friends that I see talking on Facebook, Tracy Ingram, hat tip to you. He's probably the most, you know, talking about AI and stuff like that, of my Facebook friends. You know, it's we have that sort of duality within us, and I think it's unique for us, because I look at it on one hand as a marketer, and I'm just sort of like, I start salivating with the capabilities that I and like comparing now to what I had a decade ago, and then comparing now with
Apple,
well, it's getting more rapid. So like 2 years from now, it's going to be a completely different ecosystem. And then of course we can, you know, we all know technologies and the failings of it. So we can all have that same sort of, ooh, this may end poorly. In the meantime, it's going to be really fun to be a marketer, but it might not end awesome.
So make your money now.
Exactly, before the whole system collapses, and then, well, your money's gone. I don't know, but
yeah, because it'll be, you know, by then it'll all be digital anyway, right?
Yeah.
Okay, on that, we're just gonna close the show.
Sorry, guys.
Okay, we've been talking a lot about evolution this show because this has been a couple of weeks where a great deal is actually happening and changing. This one, I'm not so sure how long it's going to stick around. The introduction of breadcrumbs into mobile search results.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's important because it's, you know, changing the face of where we're trying to get placements for our clients and such. But like you said at the beginning of the show, hey, guess what? They just found a way to take more organic space from you.
Yeah.
In the mobile and desktop, obviously different. Hell, the orientation of the screen in and of itself is different, and so the way you lay stuff out has to be different. And you only got so much space. What do you do when you only have so much space? You go. If you can't go up and down, you go side to side. And it looks like that's what Google is trying to do by introducing. Form of bread, sort of like a combination between breadcrumbs and the swiping you do at Tinder into mobile search results.
I don't like current president. I'm going to swipe him off. And maybe I'll get $130,000 for it.
It's funny because I have the picture I'm staring at of a bunch of prime ministers from India right now going, I don't know enough about them to make a call here. I don't see this lasting very often. I do think it's interesting. I mean, obviously, you know, I like breadcrumbs, but it doesn't really serve an SEO value to them. It doesn't aid them in establishing the hierarchy. It does aid them in conveying what that hierarchy is to the outside world. But I have never looked up, say, you know, the name of a prime minister. I'll go with, you know, Canada, right? Like, you know, I've never looked up Brian Mulroney and gone, oh, you know what I want? I want all of the people one level up from that. I want to just, like, now I just want to see every prime minister. No, I've never gone in with that intent, right? If I'm looking up an individual's name, I'm looking for information on that individual. So I don't really see the high usefulness of breadcrumbs in here.
It's totally a space saver. That's why they're doing it, and they're experimenting with results that have no commercial implication.
Right. I suppose that is true. One of the things I think we can all take from it, though, either whether it stays or whether it goes, is we can clearly start to see how they're forming entity information, right? So if you can enter in something and see the path, you'll see how they're defining the most important sort of characteristic of that entity is, which in and of itself is unique. The capability to see that. So, you know, if you have a chance, go,
Dave,
stick around, but I don't think it'll last.
Yeah, that's my feeling too. I think they're experimenting with it. We'll see what happens, but yeah. Okay, we're going to take a break in a few moments. We've got time for one more quick one, and I think this is a public service announcement with a groan. The mobile first index will crawl desktop sites, just in case you were worried about that. Were you worried about that?
I'll just go, the groan that you were calling for. Yeah, I don't quite understand why that was a thing, but okay.
In case people thought, okay, first off, mobile first index is going to be serving up results primarily for search queries that were conducted on a mobile device. It will replace the desktop index over time, but Google's not ready to do that yet. This is, I'm right so far, am I not?
Mm-hmm.
You need a scorecard to keep up with this. If you're in the mobile first index, chances are you're going to get ranking supremacy in both environments, mobile and desktop, because Google wants to refer and to mobile friendly sites first as a means of encouraging all webmasters to start designing for mobile, because let's face it, those screens aren't getting any bigger.
Right.
And they won't be getting much bigger in the future because, well, I mean, an untethered future is the future, right? Nobody wants wires. But desktop still exists. We still got wires. We still got people, places of business. We haven't been completely replaced by robots and machines yet. So people still got to do searches on desktop. and they will for years to come.
Yeah, indeed. Of course, Google wants to understand differences and those sorts of things. I don't know. This was another one of those. Okay, we got two this week where it's just like, I didn't know we were wondering about this, but okay.
Well, you know, obviously people are wondering. I guess I can get it because Dave, you and I have had the luxury of seeing 6 or 7 iterations of the industry in our careers.
Valid point.
So. Well, I lost count a long time ago. But that's the whole point. Our careers have been punctuated by change, right?
Yeah.
If you're newer to the industry, the change itself might be extremely disconcerting. It's easy not to panic when you've seen the world end 100 times.
That's true. You know what? In defense, I guess, for you and I, every 4 to 6 weeks when we started...
Yeah.
So along came the Google dance, everything else changed, and you buckled up for another 4 to 6 weeks because that was about all that was going to happen, right? Things would change. I know you remember it. Maybe a position. Maybe in that time, but that was pretty much the algorithm, and there we were. So you're right. We cut our teeth at a time when there was a major update. It happened every 4 to 6 weeks, and they were big. It was like... You know, we were talking, you know, with the recent, you know, even Penguin and Panda and Matt Cutts had come out going, it impacts 2.2% of all queries. And we'd be like, that's a lot of queries.
Yeah, well, it's like scale.
In our day, like when we started, oh, my God, that's the oldest I've ever sounded. But when we started, you know, it was 100% of queries were impacted. That was just it, and not just a little bit in most cases. So,
Dave, we got, you know what? I'm so sorry, man. That was fun, but we just went way over time. We got to take a break.
Oh, Brasco.
We're going to have like 2 minutes coming back from break, eh? Okay. Folks, I'm having David from Beasley Marketing. This is Jim Edwards, Always Media. This is a web call to you on Webmaster Radio on FM. It's the 3rd of March, 2018. We're taking a break right now. Back to top. Really, we will be. See you soon.
Marijuana.
Oh,
sweet sativa. Take a drink.
Commercials off. Now
Cynthia.
Back to
Delta 9. Smoke the ganja all the time.
Sit tight and don't move. Webcology will be back after this short break.
Take back the plant.
Hi, I'm Montel Williams. Most of you know me as a talk show host, but I'm also an author, actor, single father of 4, avid snowboarder, and I'm also a medical marijuana patient. Living with multiple sclerosis, I'm in pain every day. Medical marijuana is my last resort, and it helps me when all other drugs have failed. If you'd like more information about medical marijuana, you can contact the Marijuana Policy Project at mpp.org or call 1-877-JOIN-MPP.
Not on my watch, our military service members say, as they volunteer to serve, as they move out, stand firm, and take fire. So not on our watch, we say, to the severely ill or injured veterans who can't get the care they deserve to live full and independent lives, even when there's no government funding or a nursing home seems like the only option, we won't leave one warrior behind. Not on our watch. Join us at findwwp.org.
All of your favorite webmasterradio.fm programs on air and on demand 24/7. Find our shows on iHeartRadio, iTunes, Stitcher, and anywhere you download your podcasts. podcasts. Add some podcasts to your playlist as part of a better profit margin. More refreshing talk radio on air and on demand 24/7. Only on webmasterradio.fm. We're everywhere.
Warning, listening to webmasterradio.fm daily may cause webmaster insomnia and an increase in your company's profits. Webmasterradio.fm. Stay up with us all night long. Webmasterradio.fm. We're everywhere.
Commercials off. Now back to Webcology. Only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
Here are the hosts, Jim Hedger and Dave Davies.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Webcology here on WebmasterRadio.fm. This is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media, Dave Davies from Beanstalk Internet Marketing. And during the break, Dave, I read this piece that you posted in our news feed. The one on Learn with Google AI, making ML education available, machine learning education available to everyone. Fascinating. Okay. I need to ask, where were you? Do you remember? Did you have a eureka moment, a breakthrough moment, when you realized that AI was the future of not only this industry, but pretty much the future of human endeavor?
You know what? I do remember it, and it was because I didn't notice it happen. And it was when the announcement on RankBrain came out, and it was in the fall of 2015, and they told us it had been deployed in spring. And I went, that's how well it went, that none of us really noticed. And now you can sort of see it everywhere. And as soon as all of us saw it, I was like, okay, I get what I see what you did there. But that's really what hit home with me. And then, of course, there was a second round when John was made the head of search, right? And he headed up the RankBrain team, and it was just like, okay, this is a really big deal. How about you?
For me, I think it was maybe a few months after that, 2015-ish, I was interviewing Martin Ford, the author of Rise of the Robots.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about combining machine learning with robotics and an experiment that they were running in Amazon fulfillment centers. And it was like a bell rang, and I was one of the Pavlov's dogs. My brain just started salivating at the possibilities. And then it was reinforced on our show when we had Eric Enge on twice to talk about his own experiences in machine learning.
And he knows his stuff.
He knows his stuff. When in fact, I think actually we want to have him on again in the future. But, and I'm sure he would endorse this statement 100%. Search marketers out there, SEOs, it's only a matter of time. If you want a future in this industry, this is where you need to focus your learning time, or much of your learning time. It's the way it is going to go. And, you know, Google's going to make it a little easier for you. Learn with Google AI. Have you checked any of this out yet, Dave?
I haven't had a chance to go through it because I just found out about it this morning and, you know, got... as you talked about earlier, it's been a busy one, but it's I've got it right in my bookmarks bar now as a place to go. I like keeping up on stuff. No, exactly. And I think something for our listeners to know is what Jim was saying, and correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't, hey, you need to become a machine learning expert. It was pay attention to what's going on, take a few of these courses, understand what they're talking about, because then you don't need to be an expert to go, I see what you're going to do, right? I'm not a machine learning expert by any stretch of the imagination, but I've done a lot of reading and watching on it, and so I can go, okay, I have a pretty good idea of where this goes.
Well, and you can have more than an intelligent conversation on the subject, which means you're making educated and informed decisions when confronted with. And that's, as an SEO, that's where you have to be able to put yourself.
Indeed. And you're spot on. And so for our listeners over at developers.google.com/machine-learning. /crash-course. Yep, it's that. Like, of course, right? Like, it's awesome. You get to. It even lets you select what context you're coming from. You can come in as just a curious cat, that's their wording, not mine, or you can come in as a developer, right? Or you can come in as just like a business analyst, right? And it will, I've done it, I've clicked the different buttons, and it tailors the courses that they're recommending around what it is you're looking for. So if you're just starting out, pick curious cat, head through. It looks to be a pretty basic, sort of entry level, built for people who are just wondering what is this machine learning, and you can sort of go from there.
Okay, you might want to get a primer before jumping into the machine learning course, and for there you ai.google/education. In this case, .google is actually the top level domain. So ai.google, I had to look at that twice. I figured that AI was a subdomain of google.com, but no, it's ai.google/education.
Wow.
That'll give you a primer in artificial intelligence, the core of machine learning, mm-hmm. and away you're going to go. But what was it? Three segments ago, we were talking about just the rapidity of development and how it's, sometimes catches us by surprise, but we're moving ahead so rapidly because we're enabling ourselves to move ahead so rapidly.
Yep.
AI is going to blow, like we've had this 18 to 24 month cycle for as long as, actually for my entire lifetime, my 50 year lifespan has been on this 18 to 24 month cycle. That's over. It's going to accelerate so precipitously in unknown ways as of, as of last year, as of 2 years ago. Yeah, phenomenal, eh?
Yeah, it's an exciting time to be alive, that's for sure.
Okay, speaking of, we got like maybe a minute and a half left. Did you see the story? This isn't in our news feed, but did you see the story about the astronaut who printed a wrench that was developed by NASA hours earlier and emailed to him in the space station, and he printed it off a 3D printer?
I did see that. That's funny that both of us saw that same story.
Like, oh my god!
How remarkable is that? Yeah.
Like that's the first time something that was designed on Earth was manufactured in space.
Well, and that's, I think, the excitement and probably why they sent that thing up there, other than, so the Majestic could print out their map of the internet. But that's the great thing about these 3D printers for NASA is that you no longer need to send everything up, because half that stuff you never needed, right? But you needed to have it in case you did. Well, now you don't need to. You just need to send up the blueprints to print the thing.
Brilliant. Okay, on that, we have come full circle. We've done a full hour, and we got to say goodbye here on Webcology. But we are going to be back next week. So, on behalf of Dave Davis from Beanstalk Internet Marketing, this is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media. You've been listening to Webcology on Webmaster Radio on the 1st of March, 2018. Spring is coming. I swear to God, it's coming. It really is, just over there. And, we'll be back next week. More great stuff on the network after the news. Stay tuned.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.